When the witching hour draws near, she will whisper in your ear, nightmares do come true. This is a horror fiction podcast, featuring stories that will shock, disturb, and dismay. You're listening to the Dark Lady Podcast. Warning, the following program is intended for a mature audience. It contains material that some listeners may find disturbing or offensive. Some scenes include strong language, adult themes, and graphic depictions of violence, blood, and gore. Audience discretion is advised. The Dark Lady Podcast presents The Fool Who Loved Death. Part 1.
Behold, stranger, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare yourself to follow me. What you see before you now is a clown, and not just any clown. Yorick the clown, mankind's obedient servant. So, do you think Yorick is heaven sent? Perhaps, or perhaps not. He seems hell-bent. Yorick will not be content until he knows which way you went. Try as you may, try as you might, you shall not see the morning light, no matter what silly games we play. It ends how it ends, and it all ends the same way. All eyes on Yorick. Now, can you see? Here are my sleeves, white as the first snow. See how they hang to the floor? See how they flit and float freely as I dance across the stage? Two brilliant, billowing flares that add to my ghost-like charm. Here are the palms on my blouse. Here are the palms on my cap. See how they are covered in black stains, stains as black as night. Here is my face. The last face you will ever see. See how pale my flesh is, as pale as the full moon. Though not everything is pure white, there is darkness here too. My eyes, lips, and tongue are also painted painfully and permanently black. No matter how much I scratch and scrub and smudge my skin, the stains never come out. Not that I want them to come out. You see, she is the painter, and I am her canvas. These stains are a part of me as much as they are a part of her. Yes, I keep them in memory of her, the most beautiful angel that has ever graced the earth. My mistress is far more beautiful than any mortal queen, more beautiful than Galatea or the birth of Venus, more beautiful than any man could ever wish for or dream of. My mistress is larger than life. Her presence transcends time. She is beyond human understanding. You do not have to understand her. You simply must accept her. That is truth. That is fate. That is destiny. But to love her as I love her, one must go against reason. One must defy the natural order. to love her. To truly love her, one must be completely and utterly mad. Sometimes I think my heart will die, and then I hear an angel sigh. She whispers to me in the dark. That's when, alas, poor wretch, I am alive again. Love will leave a lasting scar. Only Yorick dares to go this far to please his most unhappy queen. He must seek to see what cannot be unseen. You see, what is my undoing? Words, don't fail me now. What? Oh, yes. Yorick sleeps under the tree of life. It's an old and ancient tree, as old as time itself. The tree of life bears many fruits, far too many, if you ask me. At first glance, the fruit has the distinct appearance of a shiny red apple, like this one here. See how red it is, as red as a rose. See how ripe it is, perfectly ripe for the picking. Now, the tree of life is unlike any ordinary tree, for an earthly tree obeys the laws of nature. Depending on the season, the apples of a mortal tree will blossom together, will bear fruit together, and will be harvested together all the same time. The tree of life is not so simple. It requires a far greater deal of care, for every apple is unique. Every apple has its own season. All apples are at a different stage of life, existing all at once and at the same time. Some apples are ripe enough to be plucked. Some apples have barely begun to bud. Some apples are so sick with rot that they must be ripped from their branches and tossed into the abyss. Like so. Yorick's hands are always full. The work is awful, droll, and dull. For her sake, Yorick became a beast. A beast of burden, at the very least. Here I am. Here we go again. Round and round. It never ends! Oh, humanity, how I loathe you! You are a yoke against my neck. Most of you leave this world the same way you enter it, kicking, screaming, and crying like a newborn babe. You toss your head to the sky and wail until you can wail no more. Then Yorick bows down to you in one fell swoop to suck out your last dying breath. lamb's blood, is that all you have to offer? This is not enough, not nearly enough. Not enough blood to save you. Insolent swine! You filthy animals! All of you! What? Do you take me for a fool? Do you know what I can do to you? Do you? Huh? Do you? Forgive me, friend. I did not mean to be cruel. You see, Yorick understands. Yorick understands more than anyone. Please, allow me to explain. In truth, I do not remember how I lived. I know nothing of the man I once was and the life I had once led. I cannot tell you the name of my country or my king, nor can I speak of my virtues, vices, or sins. But I do remember the day it all began. Take a peek behind the curtain. What do you see? A city of death and decay. Ah, here he comes now, a poor half-dead wretch. Look here. This is the token of death. See this man's neck? See the lump under his jaw, a lump as big as an apple. Oh, how it aches! Oh, how it swells! Oh, for him this is goodbye, this is farewell. For that is a bubo, a naughty, filthy, tender lump called a bubo, born from miasma of despair. The buboes blacken, bloat, then burst, becoming flowers of flesh and pus. Oh, how it ails him! What misery! What awful, awful pain! His body shivers cold, though it burns hot. He coughs and coughs and coughs up blood. 3 days, they say, 3 days and no more. He will wither and die, and he will cry no more. All that's left to do is pray. Heavenly powers, won't you have mercy on this poor soul? Won't you? Oh, won't you have mercy on us all? No! No mercy, none, none at all. When the plague strikes one, the plague strikes all. Fear them, watch them, lock them in then. The people once neighbors are neighbors no more. As soon as a red mark appears on their door, crosses painted a bright bloody red, one condemns all. All shut up, then dead. By summer's end we drop like flies, hellish moans and anguished cries, shrieks that echo from lane to lane. Poor little lambs, how they scream in pain. It was the end times, or so they say, the death knell tolled from night to day. The bells rang hoarse, too many dead to bury. Enter the body collector, with a dead cart to carry. Bring out your dead, the corpse collector said. Bring out your dead. And we did just that. Cold bodies were dragged out from their deathbeds and thrown onto the passing cart. The corpses piled up high, maggots in the dead man's eye. Off to the plague pits they went. All hope was lost, none left to lament. Oh, What followed after the dead cart was a man dressed in rags. See how his soul aches, see how his foot drags, see the fleas upon his head. Is he half alive, or is he half dead? Nothing left but skin and bone. He wanders the earth afraid and alone. The faithful poet had lost all his charm. A broken heart, a broken arm. Once he had the most pleasing face. He faced the dark, then fell from grace. Poor sick soul. The man was I, alas, poor Yorick. Well, Yorick, before he, Where was I? Oh, yes, yes. Buboes thick under the man's skin. No strength in him was left within. He walked until he could walk no more. Defeated, he fell, delivered at death's door. As I lay on a bed of ashes, a vision came to me. First a whisper in the wind, but the breeze did not pass as it often did. It lingered. And then one whisper became a thousand whispers. They spoke all at once in different tongues, in languages new and old. Voices, so many voices, it almost made me go mad. Day turned to night. A shadow passed over my body, a shadow so dark that it made my blood run cold. What way was this? What dark was this? I prayed, God, forgive me. I said, God, help me. If you won't, and I am almost certain that you won't, at least, at the very least, my eyes, please let me keep my eyes. Against my better judgment, I dared to look at the thing that stood over my wretched body. At first I thought it was the plague doctor. When I looked again, I realized that it was not. What it was a woman. A very unusual woman who was unusually tall as a house. The lady was shrouded in black. She wore a long flowing dress made of fine black velvet. On her head was a silver crown. Underneath the crown was a black veil. And behind the veil was skin like living marble. Am I dreaming?
No, but you will go to sleep.
I don't want to go to sleep.
It's time.
Time for what? What are you doing? When the woman lifted her skirts, I nearly swallowed my own tongue, for underneath the dress was a terrible secret. She had no legs, and she had no feet. All I saw was darkness. Dark, empty nothingness. It took me a moment to understand what I was staring at. And what I was staring at was the abyss. The void was so vast and so deep that sunlight could not pass through it. The shadows were infinite. They were big enough to swallow the earth whole. No! Wait! Wait, wait, please! The woman paused.
Wait? What for?
Please, I'm not ready to die.
Of course you're not.
No, wait, wait, please. Lady Death, I beg you, can't we come to some sort of arrangement?
Arrangement?
Yes, yes, you see, I just need more time. Can't you come back later?
Later?
Yes, later, say, in 100 years.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
How about 10 years?
I can't do that either.
1 year?
No.
Tomorrow, then. How about tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. You are coming with me now.
Oh, Lady Death, how about a little wager?
A wager?
Yes, yes, a wager.
What wager?
It seems to me that you are not the kind of woman that laughs very often.
I don't laugh.
You don't laugh? Not ever?
Not ever.
Well, perhaps I can remedy that.
What?
What?
You see, I am quite good at making people laugh. Very good at it, in fact. When I speak, the crowd gathers by the hundreds. No, no, the thousands. You see, when the people hear my clever little words, at first there is shock and awe. Then they hum, and then they haw, and then, behold, a sea of laughter. None can contain it. Even the noblest of nobles have to agree. I was invited to court by the king himself to be his fool for a day. He was very pleased and so very delighted.
So?
So, surely even death can have a sense of humor. Can't you give me a chance? Our wager is simple, really. If I can make you laugh, you will go away and let me live another day.
Huh. Touched in the head, are you? Fine. Get on with it, then.
So, I told her the funniest joke in the world. I said, the abbot of Septimo was a very fat and corpulent man. On his way to Florence one evening, he found himself running out of time. Worried that he was unable to reach the city before the closing of the gates, he asked a peasant, "Do you think I shall be able to enter the gate?" But the peasant, looking at the abbot's stout body, said, "Of course you will. If a cartload of hay can pass through the gate, why shouldn't you?" Oh, wait. Oh, silly Yorick, that wasn't the right joke. What did I say? Ah, I remember it now. I told Lady Death this. Odysseus and his army are confronted by a man-eating Cyclops. The Cyclops asks Odysseus, "What is your name?" To which Odysseus replied, "My name is Nobody." When Odysseus commanded his men to attack the Cyclops shouted, "Help! Help! Nobody is attacking me!" So, Nobody came out to help. No, that wasn't it either. Oh, yes, I remember now. I said this. What is it that so splendidly hangs by a man's thigh? In front of it is a hole. It is stiff and hard. It has a goodly place, and it wishes to visit the familiar hole it had often filled with its equal length. What is it? What it is a key.
Wrong!
All wrong!
No, what did I say? Why can't I remember? Bah, the joke isn't the point. The point is I made her laugh.
I did not laugh.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Not even a little?
No, not at all.
I could have sworn the corner of your lip twitched ever so slightly. If death laughs, does it make a sound? Think about it. Wait, think about it.
Enough.
Wait, please give me another chance.
Stop talking, fool.
But.
Words cannot save you now.
But why? It isn't fair. I just want to live. Why can't you let me live?
I cannot allow you to live a second longer.
Why not?
Look at yourself, Yorick. Can't you see? The plague is rotting you inside and out.
Oh.
The rats are chewing off your toes as we speak.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no!
How can you dance now?
Oh, no!
Stop that. It won't do you any good.
I can't help it. Oh, Death, why must you be so cruel?
I am not cruel. There is such a thing as a fate worse than death. Do you understand?
I think I understand.
Good. Now, stand up.
I was afraid, so very afraid, but I did as Death commanded. I accepted my fate and stood up. Suddenly, a great burden was lifted. All the sins of the world fell off my shoulders, and I was reborn, like a butterfly emerging from its cocoon.
Ha 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 ha
I was so overjoyed that I did not bother to look at the corpse rotting on the ground behind me. Look, I am whole again. I can walk, I can jump, I can dance. Oh, oh my. Yes, we best be on our way. Like a shepherd to his flock, Lady Death shepherded me. She stretched her arms wide and pushed me forward, leading me into the great beyond. We walked past the city walls and past the countryside, through the rivers and through the valley, through forests and deserts, through mountains and meadows and everything else in between. We walked and we walked and we walked for what seemed like an eternity. At some point I turned around and started walking backwards. I took one long look at the Angel of Death and suddenly felt foolish. I was so afraid of her in the beginning. I wonder why I was afraid of her at all in the end. Never had I ever seen a creature so divine. Surely she was sculpted by the hands of God. Every delicate curve and indentation was a work of art. One of the most curious things about Lady Death were the 6 black wings tucked tightly behind her back. They were big and grand, though they seemed stiff. It was as if she had not taken flight in a very long time, for every feather was an eye. When I reached forward to touch one, it opened up and glared at me. Something about the way she moved me. When night fell upon us, I tried to take her hand so we could dance underneath the stars. To my dismay, my hand passed through hers as if she were made of mist. She wouldn't dance, so I danced for her. I mirrored and mimicked her movements as best I could. Oh, it was hopeless. Her elegance could not be recreated. I simply was no match. Still, my heart cried out to her. I said this. Is this the face of my eternal death? A face once seen strikes fear in mortal men. Sudden stillness, you take away man's breath. When he falls, he never rises again. A force truly terrible to behold. Disaster, despair, and then you are there. You are the wrath of God that was foretold. You take with great care to lay the land bare. Mighty Madonna, heavy is your crown. The world trembles and dares not to rebel. Even kings bow down to you when you frown. For you hold the key to heaven and hell. Death does not judge, and death does not deprive. Now I am dead. I am truly alive.
What are these words?
These words are for you.
I don't want them.
But they are yours. My lady, you cannot return a poem once it has been given to you.
There's no need for poetry when you're dead.
I disagree.
What?
Respectfully, of course, respectfully, I disagree. You see, art has no end but its own perfection. Finally, we reached the ends of the earth, the space where the land met the sky. There was an ocean of white sand that stretched as far as the eye could see. Here, the world was frozen in time,
Forever held in perpetual twilight, Lady Death led me to a spiraling staircase made of pure glass. It towered over us like a castle and reached so high that it pierced through the clouds. The other half of the staircase was sunk inside a deep, dark hole. As I peered over the edge, I could hear the hell flames eternally burning. The air was thick with fire and brimstone. It was at that moment I knew that I was standing on the precipice. Judgment Day had come. I turned to Lady Death and asked her, "Where shall I go now, my lady? Up or down?"